This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance Agent in Litchfield. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville in Hillsboro. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield. And by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Hard to believe the last Saturday in January. Where's the month gone? What happened?
Well, it flies by. Wait till you get my age. It really flies by.
Even if you're not having fun?
Well, I was having some fun here in the last 3 weeks, so been back to work. So,
yes.
Yeah.
I tell you what, of course, since we were on the air last with Sports Saturday, we've had tournaments wrap up. The Macoupa County Tournament crowned their 100th champion with the North Mac Panthers. The Litchfield Invitational crowned Mount Zion as their back-to-back champions. And lo and behold, now we're turning our attention to girls' regionals, which begin a week from Monday.
How about that? That's once you get to the county and Litchfield Invitational Tournament time, you know it's not far away as far as the girls' regionals are concerned. So
we've got our pairings and matchup. We've got our broadcast schedule tentatively set. We'll talk about all that here as Sports Saturday rolls along. Want to start today, though, with what was a great high school basketball game last night in Greenville as Hillsboro went in to Greenville, both teams undefeated in the South Central Conference. The Toppers were playing without Drake Payton. This was a game that they had just played the week before when Payton got hurt against the Comets in the fifth-place game at the Litchfield Invitational. And Terry, last night, Hillsboro played so good for three of the four quarters. Yeah. They won three of the four quarters. But, man, the quarter they lost, boy, did they lose it. 21-4, Greenville won the third quarter.
Comets have that ability. They have the quickness where they can kind of throw it into another gear, and I suspect that's probably what happened in that third quarter.
Caleb Efron was nothing short of spectacular, especially in that third quarter. Hillsboro just had no answer for him. They could not keep him in front. He was getting to the rim at will, finishing, making plays. He had 11 of his 22 in that third quarter, and then that was
the game.
That was the game. It really was. Yeah. Caden White had a great night for the Toppers. He finished with 26, and to me, even though Hillsboro lost, Terry, when you go into an atmosphere like they had at Greenville last night, it was a packed house. They were honoring their 1998 baseball team who finished third in state. We're going to talk about that here as the hour rolls along. So great atmosphere in the gymnasium last night. You're playing without your senior point guard against an unbeaten team in the conference, and you hang right with them. I mean, stride for stride, you were there. Just one bad quarter, unfortunately, for Hillsboro. But going into the game, if you would have told Joe Vanzo, no Payton, and you'll win three of the four quarters, just leaving out the detail of what happened in the third. You take that every time.
Sure, sure. But as Tony La Russa used to say, you have to play a hard nine, and in high school basketball, you have to play a hard four quarters, and when you don't do that, you don't come out on top.
That's right. And it wasn't anything Hillsboro didn't do in that third quarter. It was all about what Greenville did do. I think they probably made a couple of tweak adjustments at the half, and they just took off in that third quarter. And the Comets have been known over the years to go on.
Greenville's always got some kid, you know, one kid that just seemed to throw the switch and go to another level. So, and it's what makes watching Greenville fun.
And they're unbeaten in the conference because they've already got the win over Southwestern.
So they're sitting rather pretty right now for the South Central Conference crown.
The Birds were rooting last night for Hillsboro. Yeah. They needed the Comets to get that one conference loss because Hillsboro still plays Southwestern later in the year. But Greenville in the driver's seat right now in the South Central Conference. Of course, the Lady Comets have wrapped up a share at least of the conference title for the second straight year. Hillsboro still has a chance to match them. They only have one conference loss. They beat Greenville head-to-head, but that will not matter. They both wind up with one loss.
South Central just goes with a tie. So,
which I've never understood that personally. Like, if you got two teams with the same conference record, why not go use the head-to-head?
I don't know. I suppose some of the thought process could have been, well, what happens if we have three teams with the same record? How do we determine it? So,
well, then you can just have a straight co-champions.
I don't know.
But I mean, either way, that it doesn't really matter.
Fortunately, the safety of the free world is not at stake.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. Not concerning basketball.
Right. There you go. That's not an important distinction, unfortunately, this day and age.
Yeah.
So we mentioned briefly last night they honored the 1998 baseball team at Greenville who finished third in state. And Terry, I came in, I was telling you about it. I'm like, oh, I remember that. I called every game.
Oh, yeah. And Kyle Young hit a grand slam home run in the third place game and late in the ball game and just crushed the ball over the right center field fence. And Eddie Brashaw was one of the star pitchers for the Comets that year, and Greenville had a heck of a baseball team that season and finished third in the state. They won the opening game at state. This is when they played at Lamphere Ballpark. They beat Woodstock Marion 2-0, lost to Sullivan 6-2 in the semis, and then they crushed Granville Putnam County 8-2 in the third place game. So had some really great ball players. Might mention a few of their names: Justin Joyner, Josh Davis, Kyle Young, Eddie Brashaw, Dave Clark, Andrew Astrike, Jeremy Hudson, Kyle Stewart, Matt Kircher, some of the ball players. Those were basically the starters.
And after that year, man, they went on a run of dominance.
Yeah. Greenville had, you know, since then, and actually even before then, they were still good. But they were able to get through the sectional at Alt Marquette that year. And I think they beat Marquette in the championship game at Gordon Moore Park to get to the state tournament. So, but congratulations to the Comets. That was a lot of fun. That was a fundamentally sound baseball team, and they had a little bit of power, but they seemed to be able to, from what I remember, go with the pitch. You know, take the ball the other way, make sure you put the ball in play. Just good fundamental baseball. Had good pitching, good catching. And when you have that, you can do a lot of things.
I know they had some power in the middle of that lineup, too.
Kyle Young, for one. Yeah, I can remember he was.
I don't think it was this team, but I'm pretty sure it was a Greenville kid. You talked about it years ago. He hit a ball onto the roof.
Yeah, Stephan Neese.
School, which was like across the road.
Yeah, Stephan Neese. He was a third baseman, left-handed hitter, and he just, as soon as the pitch was hit, bye-bye. You know, Carl and I are looking out the, you know, out the press box. And we're going, that thing's going to hit the school.
Yeah, it did.
And it did. So, yeah, it was crazy.
That's a poke.
Yeah, that was a poke. That kid was strong. So, Greenville's had a really good baseball program, and Hutch has done a great job. And it's always a pleasure to broadcast Comets baseball. So,
we're going to hopefully catch up with Todd Hutchinson later in the hour and talk about that 1998 team.
That was a great baseball team. And we had, almost, it seemed like almost every other year we had a team going to state in baseball. So baseball was very, very good around here in the 90s. So I don't know. It was a great, great era of baseball.
20 years ago?
Yeah. You know, you go back to 1990, of course, you had the
Southwestern.
You know, Southwestern team and that sectional that had Eric Weaver and Jason Isringhausen, who wasn't pitching then, but Sean Watson, who's now a coach for Southwestern. So, yeah, it's great baseball.
It's always fascinating to me that Isringhausen didn't really do a lot of pitching in high school. And, of course, we know he went on to have a fabulous major league career as a dominating closer. And it just, you know, it confuses me sometime with parents of youth players, mm-hmm. in baseball especially. They get so focused and locked in, my kid has to pitch. My kid has to pitch. Not only does he have to pitch, he has to pitch all the time, and he has to be throwing curveballs at a young age. No.
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 You don't.
You don't. You don't. You don't need to. And in a lot of ways, it is a detriment to the kid to have them overexerting themselves pitching at a young age. I mean, there's a lot of major league pitchers who did not pitch in high school.
Mm-hmm. Also, Mont Olive had Matt Thompson. He a kid that could throw a 90-mile-an-hour slider.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. They're sitting there going, what was that pitch? What did that do? How did that work? I remember talking to a couple of the umpires going, we weren't ready for that.
No one's ready for that.
We saw that and going, what the devil is that? You know?
It was like Colin Baumgartner last year for Southwestern, you know, consistently in the low 90s. Mm-hmm. And I've told you this before, their regional final game, I think against Staunton, was my broadcast position was right behind home plate, and every inning the Baumgartner warmed up, at least one pitch sailed to the back screen. Like, that had to be on purpose. Like, you're standing on deck waiting to hit, like, oh, no, this is not good. No. Effectively wild.
Effectively wild, yeah.
Kinda a lot of gamesmanship goes in to baseball, and that, you know, it's like,
sure,
I'm going to get you thinking.
You know, and in baseball, we is tough the spring sports are tough because a lot of times once you get to the postseason, school's out.
Yeah.
That's and I've always thought that was kind of a detriment to the spring sports, the fact that they're still playing when school's out and because you kind of lose some of the, I don't know, the special moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and senioritis is in full swing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
Especially when, if you advance out of the regional, school's over.
Yeah.
You've graduated.
Yeah.
But yet you're still playing.
Well, and then it kicks in. We don't want to lose.
Yes.
Because we don't want to go out with a loss. You know, we want to end the season on a winning note. So, you know, you push towards that goal. So, yeah. But I think the spring sports really kind of get snookered sometimes.
Well, they do in a major way.
Yeah, they do.
We'll have girls high school basketball on the radio tonight. Litchfield will be at Hillsboro. Tito will have the call live at 7:30 here on FM 106, online at WSMIRadio.com. We need to get to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the girls' regional pairings and seeds. They were released earlier this week by the IHSA. We'll talk girls' postseason basketball when Sports Saturday returns following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. I'm going to throw myself right under the bus just at the start of this segment, Terry.
Okay.
So there's nothing worse when you're doing live radio than when you get halfway through a sentence and realize that the next words that are coming out of your mouth are wrong.
Yeah.
It's not a good feeling.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do, you know. You just got to keep going. But at 7:30, when I was going through the regional pairings, I was talking about the 1A Nokomis Regional. And for some reason, when I wrote all this down, I put T-Town in the Nokomis Regional. I don't know why. I don't know how this happened, but it's certainly not correct.
No.
Certainly not correct.
No.
Hume Shiloh is the top seed in that Nokomis Regional. They will get South Fork or Cerro Gordo in the regional semifinal, depending on who wins that quarterfinal matchup. Then Nokomis, the 4 seed, will get Springfield Lutheran or Springfield Calvary in their semifinal, as Nokomis will be playing on their home floor. Should Nokomis gets to the championship, yeah, the one seed is Hume Shiloh.
Yes. And Nokomis won't see any action until Wednesday night, and then again the championship is Thursday. So,
as we look at the 2A regionals now, of course, Litchfield and Alton Marquette, the two main regionals that we'll be covering coming up in Class 2A. Hillsboro got shipped to Alton Marquette, so they will pass through Litchfield on their way to Marquette High School. And
welcome to IHSA geography class.
There you go.
There you go.
Tough draw for Hillsboro.
Yeah.
Tough draw. They will get either Southwestern or Roxana in their semifinal matchup, and then a potential date if they get there with Alton Marquette on the Explorers' home floor. That's tough.
Yeah, they got a tough draw here. And we knew, once we saw the seedings, we kind of figured, well, Hillsboro's headed to Alton Marquette, and Auburn is going to be at Litchfield. So.
That's right. So Auburn will be the top seed at the Litchfield Regional. They will get either Litchfield or North Mac, as they will meet in a quarterfinal on February 6th. The other Litchfield regional quarterfinal will have Gillespie taking on Pawnee. The winner between the Miners and Pawnee will get Carlinville in the semifinals.
Yeah. And that championship game is on Friday night, where a lot of the other girls' championships are on Thursday night. At Litchfield, it'll be a Friday night championship
game. We like that. That's good
for us. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've never really understood why, because the boys' regionals are always on Friday night.
Yeah.
I've never understood why the girls were predominantly on
Thursday.
Well,
you know, girls' schedules generally are Monday, Thursday.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. So it just kind of, you stick with it, go with the flow.
Go with the flow. That's what you have to do.
Yeah. So
the Greenville Comets got a 3 seed. They are in the Arthur Lovington Regional, which will feed into the Effingham St. Anthony Sectional. So they're going the opposite direction of Hillsboro and Auburn. But talking to some folks from Greenville last night, Terry, they said, hey, Arthur is just fine with us. That means we don't have to deal with T-Town until potentially the sectional final.
Yeah, that would be a good route.
Yes, it would.
And don't be surprised if Greenville wins that regional.
Not one bit.
At Arthur.
We've talked for years, Terry. It's all about the draw. You got to have a good draw. You got to have Lady Luck on your side, and you have to have a good team.
You got to have a good team. You got to be healthy.
Those are always the important factors. Yeah. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers, Brett Teakin. And Teak, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Well, what do you think of your draw?
Oh, it's about what I expected, kind of looking at it and stuff. I mean, there's good teams in either regional, whichever one we'd have gone to, so I'm going to have to play well and get out of it.
Did you think there was any chance you'd be in the Litchfield regional, or did you probably think we're going to Marquette?
If the IHSA was going to go by where I kind of anticipated the seeds would go, I figured we'd go to Marquette unless they go 1-3. I kind of thought Auburn would be the one seed and Marquette the two. They beat us earlier in the year, and I thought we had a pretty good chance of getting the three. So if that's the way it played out and they went by the seeds, that's kind of where I expected to go.
Of course, your season has had a lot of teams that are bigger and play a lot bigger schedule. So this tends to prepare you for postseason play.
Yeah, we play a pretty tough schedule. The Taylorville tournament got a lot tougher this year. Whenever you add Bethaldo Civic Memorial and Rochester to it, it beefs it up a little bit and stuff. And we got off to kind of a rough start. We had a lot of sophomores that were playing some important minutes and injury to our point guard, and we didn't get off to a great start, but we've been playing much better since Christmas.
Teek, everybody knew about Sammy Matouche coming into the year, but the point you make is exactly right. At the start of the year, you had a lot of players who didn't have a lot of varsity experience.
Yeah, we had four of our starters lettered last year or started last year, but they weren't always, depending on how the rotation went and stuff or how people were playing, they weren't always in tight games at the end of the game or something like that. And then we had quite a few sophomores that were playing freshman ball last year, and they had to step into the varsity role. And whenever you step in to play Taylorville and Bethaldo and Rochester, and all of a sudden you're a sophomore starter and all you played mostly was freshman last year, it's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, you didn't see that type of talent level in freshman ball.
No, you didn't see. And two.
And the game moves a little bit quicker too, doesn't it?
game's a little quicker. Yeah. Everything just happens a little faster. And two of our sophomores that we're relying on here and there, they were actually injured last year and didn't even play much freshman basketball last year. And then when Macy Blankenship and Kaylee Ward, and they were asked to play minutes at the varsity level. So it's been a little bit of a slow start.
Teek, you mentioned you lost Alton Marquette early in the year. I would imagine that you feel that you have a better team now than you did then.
Yeah, we've changed a few things around, and some players have stepped up a great deal, and Jade Scroggins is back, and we turned the ball over a lot in that game. They put a lot of pressure on you, and I think we're a better team now than we were in early December whenever we played them.
Of course, once you get into the regionals and if you're able to advance to sectional play, you generally see a lot of pressure defense.
Yeah, they don't get there they don't get to that point for no reason. And we're playing much better defensively here lately too. I've been really pleased with that. We were sitting at 6-8 right before Christmas, and we had a little talk with the girls and stuff and said we just kind of need to put those 14 games behind us and push a reset button and start over again. And then we went on a little run, won the Riverton tournament, and been playing pretty decent since.
And Teek, over the years, you guys have always played that great schedule. And if you played a lesser schedule, you'd probably have over 20 wins by now, but you wouldn't be as prepared for the regional as you're going to be with the schedule that you have played.
Well, that's the idea. Going to Taylorville and Highland, we had to play O'Fallon there, and boy, they're a good 4A school.
Yeah.
And played Belleville West and Taylorville. So we're hoping that we're battle-tested and ready to roll whenever the postseason comes around.
Do you ever think when you're like in the middle of playing O'Fallon and Belleville West back-to-back going, what have I done?
Yeah, once in a while it kind of goes through your mind. You really want to put yourself in through this, but as long as we go out and can compete and play hard, wins are in regular season are great, but you want to be better in February than you are in November and December, and hopefully we've done that.
All about surviving and advancing. That's what it's about. Yep.
Teek, most of the games you've played this year, you've had the best player on the floor with Sammy Matouche. Just kind of talk about the evolution of her game from the end of last year to this year. Man, she has been the straight-up focal point of every single defense you guys have faced this year.
Yeah, she gets it thrown at her every single night. There's never a night that goes by where she can just kind of coast to 20 or 25 points or everything. She's got to work for everything she gets, and the other players have to understand that she needs to get her touches, and they need to help her get them, and that she also needs to recognize, and that's one thing that she does a lot better this year and stuff, is recognize there's just plain times where there's going to be a little stretch of a game where she's not going to be able to get a shot off, and she kicks it to somebody else. Emily Reynolds down on the block or baseline, or kicking it out to Aubrey for a three, or Kylie, or something like that. And that's part of where she is in the process of evolving to being a much better player, is recognizing that she can't always take it and kick to somebody.
That just comes with a little bit of maturity.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you're used to coming up through junior high and everything, and you're always able to pretty much do whatever you want. And now the coaches and the teams game plan for you a little bit more. And as you get a little bit older, you realize, oh, that's going to make somebody else very wide open.
Yeah.
And, Teek, the games I've seen of you guys this year, I don't really see Sammy take too many bad shots. She gets her shots, but they're usually within the flow of the offense. She's a very willing passer.
Yeah, she has. And especially whenever she's bringing the ball up the floor, she sees the floor real well. She keeps her head up. And if there's somebody open and available, she gets the ball to them, and they generally have a relatively easy shot. Sometimes whenever she gets the ball down low or gets inside, she might force something up once in a while. But really, for the most part, she takes what she gets and sees an opportunity to attack the basket, and she really enjoys getting fouled. And she likes to go to the free throw line.
There you go.
We've been talking a lot about the regional today, but you still have your rivals on the schedule for tonight. Litchfield Hillsborough is always fun.
Yeah, Litchfield will come over tonight. Well, it'll be a good crowd, and we're still fighting to try to get a share of the conference. Mm-hmm. We've got them tonight and Pena, and then a makeup game with Roxanna Wednesday, and if we can win out, we will have a share of the conference. So even though you kind of look forward to regionals, you still have some stuff you're playing for in the regular season yet.
Well, that's exactly right. When you come into the year, I mean, usually the top goal is win your conference.
Win your conference, and you want to try to win a tournament, and you want to win a regional. And that's, we won a tournament, now we're still pushing for the conference, and postseason is ahead of us.
Yes. Greenville's already claimed a share of that conference title, but you beat them head-to-head. That was a game we had on the radio. That was a phenomenal basketball game between two really good teams.
It was well played both ways. That was a fun atmosphere and a fun game, and two very good teams going at it. And we were fortunate enough to come out on top of that one. So, yeah, we got them, and Vandalia had gotten us about a week and a half earlier. So we're still sitting here with one loss, and they finished with one loss.
Brett Teekin, the head coach of the Hillsborough Lady Hilltoppers, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. Best of luck in the quest for the conference championship.
All right, thanks.
All right, the Hillsborough Hilltoppers will head off to the Alton Marquette Regional, and the draw is tough, but hey, that could make the potential victory all the more sweeter.
As he mentioned, that's why you get into the Taylorville tournament and the Riverton tournament and the Highland tournament and see these big schools and sometimes get beat up a little bit, but you find out real quick what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and what you need to work on. So, and Teek, you know, the thing about Teek, you know, it's all about adapting it sitting in the second half. Yeah. A lot of times, you know, you have a game plan, and sometimes it doesn't work. It's the adjustments you make. So,
and that's what separates the coaches.
Yeah.
The adjustments that can be made at halftime, and more times than not, Teek makes the proper adjustments.
Yes. Got to be able to make those adjustments, because very seldom, you know, do things go according to your game plan. Defenses won't let you do what you want to do.
That's the old Mike Tyson line.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Punched in the face, yeah.
Then the plan goes right out the window with some of your teeth. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. Back here on Sports Saturday, and last Saturday in January already.
Yeah. And how about the Illini? They picked up a conference win the other night against the Indiana Hoosiers.
Always good to beat Indiana.
Yes, it is. And maybe they've turned the corner, man. You know, get a W underneath your belt, maybe that'll help them.
They just needed a win of any kind. It didn't matter who it was against in the Big Ten. They just needed to beat somebody after what their first six conference losses were crushing losses. Yeah. And then they had a couple of blowout defeats there at the hands of Wisconsin and Michigan State. So it was good to see them come back, get that win against Indiana. Rutgers into the Assembly Hall or State Farm Center coming up Tuesday.
Yeah.
Have the Coach Underwood show for you Monday. All the Illini basketball coaches shows all for you on 105.3 The Ox.
You can check our broadcast schedule by going to our website, WSMIRadio.com, and plus we'll have all of our regional tournament information up there as well.
I was going to, speaking of the broadcast schedule, we have our tentative schedule set for next week. We'll have extensive coverage from the Litchfield Regional and the Alton Marquette Regional in Class 2A.
And in Class 1A, of course, when Nokomis plays, we'll have them on the radio as well. So it's a fun time of year when you get into postseason play and the beginnings of March Madness in February.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and it won't be but 2 weeks after that, the boys will be in regional tournament play. So.
Flies by.
Oh, gosh. It does. It does. It doesn't. Seems like took forever to get back to work, but now that I've been back to work, it has flown by.
Well, you came right back in the busy part of the season.
Well, I did. Yeah. Yeah. So
I know that the tournament week was kind of a target date for you, though. I know it was.
It was. And by the way, great job done by Litchfield High School and North Mac High School. As hosts, they always do such a great job running their tournaments. And Mount Zion, a very, very good basketball team, and they won two in a row at Litchfield. And, of course, the North Mac Panthers winning on their home floor.
That's right. And then North Mac had to jump right into the Auburn Invitational the following week, and that will wrap up today. North Mac will play Springfield Calvary at 2, Hartsburg-Emden against South County at 3:30, and then Auburn will take on Springfield Lutheran at 5 o'clock tonight. Regular season has Staunton at Lincolnwood, and then the Nokomis Wood River game that has been rescheduled for February the 12th.
February 12th. Okay. Lincoln's birthday.
There you go.
Yeah. The actual birthday. Not the celebrated birthday, the actual birthday.
I was reading something a few weeks ago, I don't remember all the details now, about George Washington's birthday. And about how it's not actually
22nd.
It's not actually the real day.
When they changed the calendars over from the Gregorian to the calendars, which we have now, from the old Julian calendars, it was a shift of 10 days.
There was a fascinating article because they had resisted switching to that calendar, but then it got to a point where they were like 4 days off.
Yeah.
Like, well, we got to switch now.
Yeah.
And so that shifted Washington's birthday.
Yeah. So
very interesting.
My birthday, too. It's always during regional tournament week.
Perfect.
Yeah. Perfect timing. I love it.
You spent many a birthday
in a gymnasium. Absolutely. That's the way to celebrate. I tell you.
Girls basketball tonight. We mentioned Litchfield at Hillsboro. We'll have it live on FM 106. Of course, streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. The Lady Hawk Invitational concludes today. Nokomis lost last night in the fifth place bracket semifinals as they fell to Jersey. So Nokomis is out of the Lady Hawk Invitational. They will have a consolation championship at 1 o'clock today between Metro East Lutheran and West Central. The fifth place game at 3 o'clock has Carrollton taking on Jersey. The third place game at 5 pits Alton Marquette against Jacksonville Rout. And in the championship game at 7, Quincy Notre Dame will face Lebanon.
Quincy Notre Dame.
Always there.
Always there. What class are they this year?
That is a good question. I didn't see them in the... Yeah. They got to be 3A.
Probably 3A.
Well, that 1 year they were 2A when they played Hillsboro. Hillsboro almost beat them that year in the sectional semifinal. It was close for a good stretch.
Was it Beardstown?
Was that Beardstown? Gillespie was up there that year,
too.
But I just remember Quincy Notre Dame was pressing off of missed free throws, like trapping with a press. Like, whoa.
And they were all over the place.
Oh, my goodness. That
they were probably the best girls team in the state that year.
Yeah, they didn't win state, though.
No.
But they were the best, though.
They were pretty darn good.
And that's always the thing to keep in mind when we get in to postseason play is rarely does the best team in the regular year win the whole thing.
It's what have you done for me today? You know?
Think about Alton Marquette this year on the boys' side. They're undefeated. They're like 26, 27, maybe 28. No, they're going to be 3A, though.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Hello.
That changes things, doesn't it?
Big time.
Yeah.
I mean, they could wind up in a regional with East St. Louis, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, yeah. That was a whole new perspective for postseason play for Alton Marquette.
Yeah. So. Yeah,
Q&D is 3A.
Q&D is 3A.
They are 3A. There you go.
There you go.
Right where they should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
In the same subsectional as Peoria Notre Dame.
Oh.
Well, that could get confusing.
Yeah. Q&D and P&D.
Do they ever call them P&D? You always hear Q&D. Do you hear? I don't really feel like I hear P&D.
They've got a P&D logo.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Which sounds strange.
I put together the basketball jerseys at my old job for them.
Well, there you go. How about that?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about saying Peoria. for a team from Peoria. You know, because Peoria's kind of was a basketball.
A basketball hub, yes.
Yeah, hub. So.
So much talent has come through Peoria over the years, and I remember them talking about when they called it the Peoria Pipeline.
Yeah.
It finally dried up.
Yeah.
Like DJ Richardson, I think, was the last great Peoria player that went to Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But they got a lot of
But they're
of great
kind
talent.
Of battling their way back now.
Oh, yes.
So Peoria's got, some good talent again.
It all flows up and down. I mean,
sure.
Even, you know, we always talk about in the small towns, you're going to have those peaks and those valleys where some years the talent just isn't there. Then all of a sudden you have a great run of three or four classes in a row. It happens in the big towns too.
Sure.
Happens in the big cities as well.
Sure. Sure.
It's just usually not quite as pronounced.
Yeah. So, but boy, when they had the run, when those manual teams were just awesome teams.
When I think of the state tournament, my first state tournament was Staunton in 93. So obviously I'll never forget that. That was awesome.
25 years ago.
Oh my goodness. We went to the state tournament then every year after that as a family. And I just remember, saw every one of those manual games at the state tournament. And it was just awesome. That was.
Men among boys.
Oh my goodness, it was. Yeah. But they played 2 years in a row, Harvey Thornton. Yeah. And poor Harvey Thornton. I mean, they were, if not for Manuel, Harvey Thornton would be in Illinois basketball lore as one of the great dynastic teams that the state has ever seen. They had Melvin Eli, who went to the NBA, Antoine Randall, who went to the NFL, and then Ty Streets, who played college football at Michigan. So, I mean, you got three high-level players, and they were great. They just could not beat Manuel. Yeah. Peoria Manuel had their number. And those games, they were leading, like, I think after three quarters in all of them, but couldn't close the deal.
Yeah, so... Wayne McLean and Peoria Emanuel Rams.
They were.
Four in a row.
Oh, they were great.
Yeah, that
they were so great.
That was pretty awesome.
Sergio McLean, I remember as a freshman, it was like the Albert Pujols situation.
Yeah.
Like, that dude's 21, Pujols. Like, Sergio McLean's a freshman?
Yeah.
The grown man?
Yeah. Like I said, it was men among boys.
Yeah. It was. And see, he didn't really grow too much then after his freshman year.
But boy, could he play.
Oh, he was a baller. Yeah. That dude could ball.
Edwards makes the state tournament fun.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Frankie Williams was probably the best of all of them, and now his boy is looking like he's going to be a stud for the Illini, DeMonte.
Yeah. You know, Illinois' situation is they're still so young.
Yes.
Give them a year or two, man, they should be a rated team.
Yes, Underwood he needs to continue to build off this freshman class, and next year they're going to be much improved.
Yeah.
And when this group of freshmen is juniors...
Watch out.
They could be back then.
They could be darn good.
Yeah.
Pretty darn good.
And it was frustrating for the Illini earlier in the year because I mean, they were losing so many games. But until the Wisconsin game, they weren't getting blown out. And the Wisconsin blowout, you could see that coming. After the way they lost the Nebraska game, that was such a crushing loss after a number of crushing losses had preceded it. It was not surprising at all that they had a letdown there for a couple of games. But... Yeah. With the talent, and you saw good coaching, no quitting them.
Sure.
They respond back and get a good win against Indiana.
Underwood's the kind of guy who seems to, you know, enjoy getting in their face a
That's
little
right.
bit and you know, challenging them, like, you know, what are you out here for? Why are you here?
Why are you here? A little Gene Katie-esque, maybe.
Yeah. A little bit of that.
He was in Mark Allstork's face after that missed free throw at the end of the Indiana game because Allstork ran up to the kid and they could have called a foul. It was close to it, and it would have obviously there was point or the tenth of a second left, and a foul would have put Indiana at the free throw line with no time expired.
Isn't it funny that we talk about freshmen playing like in high school and freshmen even at the college level still make freshman mistakes.
Of course.
Even though they played maybe 4 years of varsity basketball in high school, they still make freshman mistakes.
Well, Allstork is a graduate student. He's been sixth year.
So that's why when you're watching a high school game, you can't get too mad at the high school kid because not only do the D1 college players do it, you see the NBA players do it.
Oh, NBA players do it. Yes. Yes.
It's just part of athletics. Sometimes you just do things that you know you shouldn't do it, but you still wind up doing it.
And we talk about getting used to the speed of the game, and that has a lot to do with it. You know, until you're up and comfortable with the speed of the game, you commit those errors.
And that's what Mark Smith is dealing with right now. Of course, the reigning Mr. Basketball for Illinois, the Edwardsville grad, had a great senior year for the Tigers. But you can see he hasn't quite adjusted to the speed of the game yet. It's just moving a little bit quick for him. He'll get there, though.
Yeah.
He's got the talent.
He's going to be a terrific ball player.
He is.
In his career for the Illini. He's going to be good.
Underwood had an interesting or a good quote this week about that situation. He said, he had to tell, you know, Mark Smith that, hey, nobody cares outside of the conference that you were Illinois Mr. Basketball.
Yeah, it don't matter.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Nobody in the conference cares.
Yeah. That's right.
Nobody cares about that. Don't matter now.
That's right.
What have you done for me lately?
That's right. That's what makes sports the best reality TV, best reality live presentation going.
Tell you what, though. If Underwood continues to get the Mr. Basketball from the state,
That
is very, very good news for the program.
That's kind of like Lou Henson getting Illinois guys. You know?
You got to get him. We've talked. Yeah. We've sat here just like multiple people have across the state and talked about you have to get the top dogs from Chicago.
Yeah.
You just do.
Yeah.
You just do.
It's Simeon and it's, you know,
Morgan Park. Yeah.
Those guys, you got to get those guys.
You must own the public league.
Yeah.
You must.
Yeah. You have to make your imprint there.
And it seems like Underwood is getting that process started.
Yeah.
Who's the kid they got coming next year, David?
Io Desunmu.
There it is.
There you go.
Combo guard.
So. Okay. So. And he's rated.
He's hot.
He's five star. He's the first five star they've had since D. Brown. Best recruit they've had since D. Brown. Or highest rated, I should say.
Yeah. Here's a guy.
Yeah, what a ball player.
Oh, my gosh. D. Brown could make things happen, couldn't he?
I tell you what, though. When you think about that great 05 team, to me, the most important player on that team was James Augustine.
Well, he could.
He was their only big.
Yeah.
And
he really
was
wasn't big, but he played big.
Oh, he was good.
Yeah.
He could step out and knock down that 15 to 17 footer.
Yeah.
Always getting rebounds.
Yeah.
He had about a 7 or 8 year career in Europe, overseas.
He was a really good ball player.
Yeah.
Underappreciated from the era.
He really was.
Everybody talks about D. Brown, Darren Williams, and Luther Head, and nobody talks about James Augustine.
He was just kind of, you know, you see at the high school level too, kids who necessarily don't do stuff that you think about, but the unheralded things.
Yeah.
The dirty thing, not the dirty things, but the plays that you have to.
Well, you have to
get dirt under your fingernails and get it done.
You get the offensive rebound. You put the ball back in. You know, you set the screen. You're on the floor when there's a loose ball. So those sort of things that you can't really teach.
They don't show up in a stat sheet.
No, they don't.
Setting a good screen, diving for a loose ball. You have to have guys willing to do those things.
Speaking of setting a screen, hasn't the college basketball gone a little overboard with the screen?
Yes.
Illegal screens? I mean,
they've gone overboard with a lot of different things.
My goodness, it doesn't seem like there's much of a flow to the game of basketball anymore.
Too many whistles.
Yeah, way too many whistles. So, I don't know. Just an observation.
That's a fair observation.
Yeah. But, I mean, and it seems like once you get illegal screens called on one end of the floor, almost immediately on the other end, there's another one called.
Well, once you call it once, you have to keep calling it.
So.
That's essentially what's been the Illini's biggest problem this year is the foul trouble. I mean, they're in foul trouble every game. I mean, that's like their single biggest weakness is their players can't stay out of foul trouble.
Well, and the way that they play defensively, though, that's going to be a consistent theme, I think. When you play the type of pressure that Underwood wants to play.
That's why you got to have a bench.
You got to have a bench.
Yeah, because you're going to run into foul trouble. But that's what you want. That's what that defensive pressure.
You get that style of play established, though, and then a couple of years from now, that's just how you play, and you get away with a certain number of calls that you won't get away with this year.
That's true.
I mean, good pressure, like West Virginia, they foul all the time, but that's just the way they play.
Yeah.
You can't call it every time. Well, I guess you could call it every time, but who wants to watch that?
Then you have the starting five fouled out in the first 10 minutes of the ball game.
But once you've, like with Nokomis at the high school level, every official knows how they play.
Yeah.
They know the style that they play. So maybe it would be a foul on another team, but Nokomis is going to get called for that foul because that's how they've played for 30 to 40 years.
Yeah. They have that pressure.
They have that pressure. So. Exactly right. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with more in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. We've left a message with Todd Hutchinson for Greenville. We'll see if he can get back to us here in the next couple of minutes. But, Terry, there was a neat night last night in Greenville as they recognized the 1998 team 20 years ago. They took home third place in state. They probably had, I think, 11 or 12 of the guys
back.
That's
great.
It was a really nice pregame
That's
ceremony.
That's great. And Greenville, they always seem to draw well.
They do.
The Comet fans are very loyal. They always have a good crowd, it seems like. And, you know, the boys' team has been doing well. The girls' team has been doing extremely well this year. And they've been drawing well, so it's good to have those guys back and have them honored for what they did 20 years ago.
And besides the coal mine crazies, they have one of the best names for their student section, the Kamikazes.
The Kamikazes, yes. They're loud.
They are loud. Yes, they are.
They make it fun.
That's right. But Terry, you remember that 1998 team. You were there along the run, and it was such a magical time for any time you can get to state. It was their first and, I believe, only state trophy.
Yeah, it was. And like I said, during the 90s, we had several teams that did make it to state in baseball. And so we were kind of anticipating that, you know, once you get into the sectional tournament, you got a pretty good shot at maybe a local team making it to the state tournament. And there's nothing like playing at Lamford Ballpark. When Lincoln would play, they played at Joliet, and it was a brand new ballpark and everything. But Lamford Ballpark, Robin Roberts Field, had this old feel to it, you know, and just the ball being struck by the bat sounded different and everything. It was just a neat place to play. I can remember just huge crowd from Greenville following the Comets to the state baseball tournament that weekend. So it was a pretty nice weekend, if memory serves me right, as well. So, but they had Eddie Brashaw, who was one of the outstanding pitchers, and
he went on to play for the Rascals and the Grizzlies.
And the Grizzlies, yeah. So Eddie, he was a terrific pitcher. Kind of a bulldog kind of guy, just, you know, would hunker down and he wouldn't give in to batters. He could throw strikes and didn't walk many people. So
when Joe Allstott said last night, his senior year, he hit 500.
Yeah.
Had like 13 home runs and 30 extra base hits and struck out two batters per inning.
Per inning. Yeah. And he did that at the state tournament. I think he struck out. He might have struck out like 8 or 9 in the quarterfinal round game that he pitched. So.
There's nothing like watching at the high school level, to me anyway, a dominating pitching performance in baseball.
Well, you know, that's the thing about baseball. A lot of times you don't get a good baseball game, a well-pitched game. If you get a well-pitched game, it's a fun thing to watch.
So. Oh, it's wonderful.
And Greenville had the team that year. They did. The Comets were a lot of fun to watch, and they beat up on some people, and they went through the sectional and had one bad inning against Sullivan, and that's usually how it is.
That's right.
That was in the semifinal, so they ended up in the third place game and won that one.
Well, there was talk last night of, I guess, they played a sleep game that year where they started the game, and it was fine.
Can you imagine Hutch going, "Wow, it's just sleeping."
Yeah, we'll play through that. But I guess about the fourth inning, it started sleeting, and then they kept playing.
Yeah.
But it was funny last night when Joe Allstott was talking about the sleet game. I was watching the players down on the floor as they were standing there, and I saw one of the players go, "I remember that game."
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't forget that.
Yeah. And there's been a few games they've played in snow flurries, too, I'm sure, over the years. Seemed like back then the colder weather was just, you know, no big deal.
Right.
It was a big deal, but it wasn't a big deal. And now if it gets too cold and some snow flurries, we generally call things off wisely.
Yes.
But back then you played. So
this spring will be interesting. I don't mean to put the jinx on the spring sports season, but as dry as it has been here over the winter, it's going to be wet this spring. Most likely it's going to be a wet spring.
Well, and not to get too involved in the weather situation, but if you listen to, like, the RFD network in the morning, and they're always talking about the long-range computer, diagrams and everything and what they think. And they think probably mid-February is going to be kind of a snowy, messy kind of thing, at least a possibility of it in some of the computer
models. Wind up with a March snow, huh?
Well, you know.
We had that a few years ago.
Yeah.
Not uncommon.
No, it's not uncommon. Doesn't stick around very long sometimes. You get a March snow, and a couple of days it's gone. So, but we've, you know, with the exception of the cold, cold weather that we've had, we've been pretty fortunate. So, but seems like Mother Nature tends to balance things out.
Usually does.
Yes. So,
what type of weather will we have for Girls Regional Week, which will begin a week from Monday, believe it or not, and we'll have all sorts of coverage from the Litchfield and Alton Marquette Regionals. And in that Marquette Regional, Staunton is the 7th seed. They'll play Wood River in a quarterfinal on February 5th. And, Terry, to me, Staunton's a very interesting X factor. If they win, they'll get Alton Marquette, which will be extremely tough on the Explorers' home floor. But if Staunton can get Savannah Brune back to 100%. They are a totally different team. She hurt her ankle in the last game of the Carletonville Holiday Tournament. Hasn't really been the same since. She was not effective in the Macoupin County Tournament. Stone didn't win a game in the county tournament. But, man, when she was healthy earlier, and they beat Carletonville easily. Mm-hmm. When she's healthy, they are a totally different ball club.
Well, and I think the Toppers are dealing with Drake Payton's situation in the
very
sprained
similar.
Ankle. You know, you have that team put together, and they've been together for a while, and then all of a sudden one piece of the puzzle is missing, and it's not that...
When the piece is the point guard, it's a problem.
Yeah, because guards are at a premium.
Yes.
And I've said for years, give me five guards and you'll compete. You know, you don't need a big ball player. Give me people that can dribble the ball and shoot.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Hillsborough's got those. Yeah. And they competed. Hats off to Hillsborough last night. I mean, they went in there and they competed so hard. They played a great game outside. Well, three-fourths of a great game.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were behind the eight ball before that game started without Payton in the lineup. They knew it was going to be tough. But I think Joe Vanzel probably comes out of the game feeling very good about his ball club. The question now is they're off all this week.
Yeah.
They will play Carletonville on Friday. They hope to have Drake Payton back by then. What percent will he be? Can he get back close to 100% by regionals? I don't know.
You know, because Drake was one of the better point guards
in the area.
Oh, my
goodness. Absolutely.
You know, if not the best. He was a lot of fun to watch and really made things happen and control the Hilltoppers. I mean, he was like the quarterback for the Toppers. And you know, it's injuries are part of the game, so it's time for somebody else to step up and you know, fill the void while he's out. But you hope that it's a quick recovery.
And you just always hate to see seniors who have been their entire career get hurt late in their senior year because it becomes just a time issue. Is he going to have enough time?
Yeah.
To get back.
Yeah. And it kind of hurts you.
It does.
You know, even as a fan, you're going, gosh, you know, had this been a freshman year thing, no big deal. But here, your senior year, you know, you're playing your final games as a basketball Hilltopper, and, you know, doggone it.
Like Daniel Card for Carletonville this year blew his knee out in the second game of the football season.
Yeah, yeah. So that's...
You hate to see it.
Oh.
It happens every year,
but
though.
Injuries are all And even at the high levels, Tim, when, you know, you talk about Major League Baseball, the NBA Finals, the NFL, Super Bowl, you know, teams that are healthy are the ones that can compete. And very seldom does a team go through a season without some sort of, you know, major health issue, on one of their star players at the professional level. So, it happens at all levels.
And it always will.
It always will. It's just part of the game. It's just part of the game. So
Litchfield Hillsborough tonight in girls high school basketball. Terry will have the call. And Terry, you're going to be like a presidential candidate tonight, my friend. You're going to be shaking hands. You might even kiss a few babies. Who knows what you might encounter in Hillsborough tonight.
Normally this game, they do a lot of auctioning off of cakes and cupcakes and baked goods at halftime.
The most expensive pies in the county.
Most expensive pies in the county are sold at halftime of this game, usually on a yearly basis. And, of course, there's a lot of other things going on in Hillsborough tonight with the Stamp Out Cancer fundraiser. So it's a busy night in Hillsborough, and it involves a lot of people from around the county. So, you know, and the Montgomery County Cancer Association benefits from it. And the folks that are involved in that, kudos to them for working their butts off and making this happen. So,
David, you've had Zach Weigel in a couple different times talking about this Stamp Out Cancer event. And what is it tonight? The lip sync battle? Is that what they got going on?
Annual lip sync battle. They used to do Dancing with the Stars, and a few years ago they changed it to a lip sync battle,
which has been very popular.
Oh, yeah. People really get into it. And they're approaching 10 years in a couple of years. It's the 8th annual big event this year. So they keep saying they're going to do something pretty big for 10 years. So we'll stay tuned.
Oh, they will too.
Absolutely.
It'll be huge.
It will be.
It's sold out. This year sold out in like 9 minutes.
Yeah.
The tickets sold out in 9 minutes.
People line it up like at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
It was cold that day.
Cold.
It was cold.
It's cold. They're lined up around the corner. I was there.
And it's going to be at the
KC
Hall
in Taylor Springs.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So. If you don't have a ticket, too bad.
If you have a ticket, better head out there right now. I'm told people usually start lining up about right now.
What time does it start?
I think doors open at 6.
Hey, at least it's 50 degrees.
That's right.
And every once in a while, if the basketball games go late enough at Hillsborough on this evening, you'll see an influx of a few people coming from from the KC Hall. So every once in a while. So it's big, kind of an interesting night.
It is.
It is.
So big night.
Only in Montgomery County, you know.
There you go.
That's kind of unique to Montgomery County. So plus we've got Litchfield Hillsborough girls basketball on the radio, which is always a lot of fun.
Always
so.
Good.
And you know, Topper certainly would, you know, on paper seem to have the upper hand, but they're playing Litchfield. So
toss the records out.
Yeah, and it doesn't make any difference.
Does not matter.
You got to show up and you got to play. So
Litchfield can make their year tonight.
Litchfield, you don't think they got this one circled on the calendar? Oh,
that's
yes,
right.
They do. Yes, they do. Rob Corso would love to come in there and do some damage tonight. So
that's right. Thanks to Brett Tika for joining us this morning here on Sports Saturday. Litchfield Hillsborough tonight live at 7:30 on FM 106 online. At WSMIRadio.com. Tito, take us home.
Have a great sporting weekend and be safe. And that's it for Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM. Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois and home of Girls High School Regional Basketball Tournament coverage coming up in just about a week. Have a great sporting weekend.